Greetings, brothers and sisters. My title tonight is "It Is Enough." Now that may sound strange to some people. Because a lot of people, they aim for the best. If you
want
to be good at something, you practice. You rehearse. And you reach and you stretch because you want to be the best. Is it that way in the kingdom of God? Does God want us to be the best? It's a trick question. I'll show you what I mean by some scriptures and some testimonies. Because not all of us are born with confidence. Not all of us go to work or to school. Here I'm coming. With our chest up. Believing we are somebody. Even though deep down we know that we are somebody, we are children of God. The highest calling. So, how much farther then can we stretch to become the best? When the price is already paid. And it was enough. The blood of Jesus. Was it enough? Does anyone else here have to sacrifice something to gain eternal life? There's nothing we can do. It's already done. It is ours. For the taking. Now how many here tonight is filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen. And I pray. If not everybody rolls their hand. That you will. Either by the end of this evening. Or by tomorrow. But one thing is certain. Don't leave Sunday without it. Eternity depends on it. With you and me in eternity. Or outside. In Matthew 14.
Book ya Mateo 14.
Verse 15.
Mateo 14, Dimea 15.
Are we there?
Tafika po.
When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food."
Kutayamba mdima, opunzira anabwera kwa hiyanati. Kuno ndi... Ndikuchire ndipo kwayamba kale kuda. Auzene anthu azipita kuti akafike kumidzi ndi kukazigulira zakudya.
But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away.
Yesu anayankha kuti safunika kuchokapo.
You give them something to eat.
Imwe mwapase kanthu kakuti adye."
And we give them something to eat?
Ife tiwapase chakudya.
Doesn't Jesus know that we don't have anything? And they said to him, verse
17,
"We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish." Now, you don't need to go there, but in John 6, verse 9, because all the Gospels share this story. But John lets us know it was a little boy's lunch. And there it says, there is a lad there who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And then we go to verse 18 in Matthew
14.
And Jesus said, perfect. 2 fish. 5 loaves.
My bread yali 5.
That was actually a little bit too much. He could have worked with less. And he said, bring it here to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And when they were finished, what does it say? There were 12 baskets full of fragments and remained. So they couldn't eat it all. If we would have served 2 fish and 5 loaves here tonight, we had better eaten before we came. Because we know it's not going to do it. But it was enough. The Lord is teaching us something, isn't he? Boys' lunch. And how many were fed? It says 5,000 men. So either that means 5,000 human beings, or it means 5,000 men, males. Then they must have had wives with them, or fiancés, or girlfriends. Children were there. Maybe it was 15 to 20,000. You know, the miracle is just enormous. And not only did God show that he can do what much with little, but he used a little boy. He was not a minister. He was not a baker. He was someone that, he's nobody. You know, when the children came to Jesus, the disciples, what did they do? No, don't disturb the master.
No,
go back to the kids' corner. Jesus said, let them come to me. I will show you something. I will teach you something now. He had to be strict with his disciples. Unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So is it about, you know, growing large in knowledge, like I shared a little bit on Sunday? What needs to be large in us is our faith in God. You can never have too much faith, can you? No. Jesus shares another story in Mark 12.
Ambiyesu Kristu anakamba nkani ina Marko 12.
Verse 41.
Marko 12, 41.
This is all something you probably learned in Sunday school.
Anchimozi mnapunzirako ku Sunday school.
Now Jesus sat opposite of the treasury.
Yesu anakala pafupi na paja poperekera ndalama mumpingo.
And he saw how the people put money into the treasury.
Ndipo anaona mwamene vanthu anaperekera ndalama muja moperekera ndalama.
And many who were rich put in much.
Olemera anaika muzambiri.
And then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, or it says small copper coins.
Koma mkazi wa masiye wosauka anabwera ndiye kuika mutunda lama tuviri twa kopala,
which makes a quadrant.
Tokwanira mwina teka la ndalama.
And that's a penny.
Ndiye akukakamba kuti kandalama kangono ka penny.
Now how many people can you feed with a penny?
You know,
that penny couldn't do more than the loaves and the fish in the natural. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you," it's verse 43, "that this poor widow has put in much more than all those who have given the treasury."
Yesu anaita anopunzira ake kuti zonadi ndikuuzani kuti mai wosauka uyu waika mundirama zambiri muthumba kuposa yena onse awo.
For they all put in out of their abundance.
Iyo anapereka molingana ndi chuma chawo.
But she out of her poverty.
Koma iye mwaumbawi wake.
Put in all that she had.
Wapereka zonse anali nazo.
Her whole livelihood.
Angakale zoti angagulire chakudya cha umoyo wake wose.
Now how many would give everything to the Lord? We sing it, don't we? I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Do we empty our pockets and we give the Lord everything? Or do we like to keep something for just in case he doesn't show up next time? I might be on my own. It's scary to live a life by faith, isn't it? But is it possible? It sure is. And just to show you how little God needs to use someone, if you cannot compare yourself to a little boy or a poor old widow, and you may say, "Well, at least I am not that." Well, when Balaam wouldn't listen to God,
because
Balaam was a disobedient prophet, a greedy prophet, one who most surely would not surrender all to God. Prophet. Not prophets, but prophets.
Pindu.
Yeah. What can I gain? But still God would use him. Even though he was so disobedient in going to Balak the king. Because Balak wanted him to come and curse Israel. Are you familiar with the story? Okay, so then I will just refer to it. But I'm speaking out of Numbers
22.
Verse 20 to
35.
But we can go down to verse
24.
Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path. It's Numbers 22, 22:24. I wasn't supposed to read, but I want to read anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. 24. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side.
So
that means Balaam was riding his donkey now on his way through a narrow path, through a wall. So it was probably more narrow than this even. And here stood an angel blocking the way. But Balaam did not see the angel. But God opened up the eyes of the donkey. And an angel of the Lord appeared before a donkey. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So the first time he had struck the donkey with his whip, because it stopped. And now he struck it again, because his foot hurt. Down to verse 27. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she now lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff again. But then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you? You have struck me these three times. Now, what would you do if a donkey started talking to you? Would you start arguing with it? Have a debate? No, you would say, it's talking.
Chikamba.
I better listen. Something that has never happened before is happening now. Oh, instead he was arguing with the donkey. And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me. Oh, how I wish there was a sword in my hand. For now I would kill you. So again the donkey speaks back. Am I not your donkey? On which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Well, no. So back and forth with the donkey. And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And he also saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Now, I'm referring to this story because God could use a donkey too. So how low can you bring yourself in the eyes of other people? You know, people like to bring other people down, don't they? And they do that so that themselves can feel better about themselves, look better, in the eyes of people. But God doesn't care about what people say about you and what they say about me. He doesn't care if you were a boy, a widow, a donkey. And a donkey is not even supposed to speak. Never did again. And so I hope you can put yourself in the situation. Not to boost your confidence so you can climb the ladder. No, but so that you can trust God and say, God, I'm nothing. I have nothing. Nobody likes me. Nobody speaks well about me. Can you use me? Most surely I can use you, God. Said because you're a son and you're a daughter. Yeah, but I only have two pennies. Or even one. The Lord will say, it's enough. We can work with that. Amen.
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 And just to show, now I'm going to talk about respected prophets of God. Haggai.
Haggai.
Zechariah.
Zachariah.
Both of them wrote books in the Bible. Both of them were men that God used in a difficult situation for the people of Israel. Israel had been in captivity for 70 years in Babylon because of disobedience before. They have violated the law of God by not keeping the Sabbath year. Every seventh year, the land is supposed to rest. And they skipped that. Because then we will not have enough. We need to sow and harvest the seventh year too, or we will lose money. But God wanted the land to rest. So he said, because of this, I will show you a lesson. I will take you out of your land and you will be 70 years in captivity. And for that, he sent the prophet Jeremiah to speak those words to the people. But when the 70 years were over, God keeps his promises. Now you can go back. And not only would they come back, the city wall was broken. Missing parts of the wall. Cracks in the wall. The temple was torn down to its foundation. And the Lord said, rebuild. And they even got a decree from the king. Now you read this in Ezra chapter 5 and also in Haggai chapter
1.
So it was, verse 1 here, it was in the, I will wait for you, Jonathan.
Ezra.
Could you make me some water? Make me some water. Thank you.
That's Ezra 1.
Ezra, verse 1. No, sorry, Haggai, verse 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Haggai 1.
Okay. In the second This is Haggai 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus the Lord speaks, the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now here, Haggai is speaking to the people of Israel. You are building your houses now. And the temple of the Lord is broken. Is that what we want to do? And they were commanded, start rebuilding the temple. Why? We need to restore worship. We need to restore the sacrifice. Our God demands it. And he had a decree from the king. And they started to build. But there were evil men in the land. Pretending that we want to help you. We're your friends. We're your neighbors. And they said, no, because these were Gentiles. A Gentile cannot rebuild our temple. And of course, they were offended. But really, they were not offended. Because they already had an evil plan against the people of Israel. So they themselves wrote a letter to a king. Saying what would happen if this nation would rise again. If they would rebuild their walls. If they would rebuild their temple. They will again start to be a pain in your neck, king, like they were before. Just read back in your chronicles. And the king started reading history books. And he found about the conflict between the nation of Israel and his people. And he made a decree to stop the building. And it stopped. The people were discouraged. Now how long did it stop? 15 years. It says about 15 to 16 years.
Zaka 15 or 16.
There was no building on the temple. Had God changed his mind? No.
Yeah.
But now the people were full of fear. We're so small. We're outnumbered. We can't fight them. They will hire soldiers and kings and they will just terminate us. Because they knew they were already a hated people. And that's when God sends the two prophets. And what I want you to take from this story is all the words the prophet spoke. The big teaching they brought. The many lectures they brought gave the people. Or did they? Verse
13.
Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Was that it?
Haggai mtenga wa Yehova anapeleka kwa antu tenga wa Yehova ine ndilinanu akutero Yehova.
I am with you, says the Lord. Was that all? That was just one sentence. That was not much. But it was enough. Because what did that sentence do to Joshua and to
Zerubbabel?
It did not puff them up. It did not make them stronger. It rose their faith in God. God is with us. The creator of the universe is with us. Let's start building. Verse 14 it says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. It's 14. Governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, their spirit were lifted. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. No army could no longer come through the city wall. Even though it was cracked and broken, they concentrated on the temple first. They were safe. And they had now courage. I hope you can take this to your heart. Whatever state you are in here now tonight, if you are just a foundation of a building, and you're thinking, I cannot rise up to something again. I have ruined my example. I'm worthless to everybody. All you need to hear, I am with you, saith the Lord. And that should be enough. Not just to rise your faith so people can see, oh, God must really be with you. That's not why God speaks. It's for you to know that He's with you, not for others to know. Doesn't matter what others know. I can point at you and say, you are surely not among the bride of Christ. Because I've seen you, I've seen you done this, I've seen you done that, and you have ruined your example. You could not possibly be a child of God. And I would not have a clue. Still, the Lord can speak to that person's heart and say, the Lord God, I am with you. You are mine. You are my son. You are my daughter. And you just wait. When the trumpet sounds, your body will not be in the ground. It will be resurrected. Amen.
Amen.
We must believe that. And we believe that, don't we?
Amen. Amen.
And if not, run to Christ. You know, kneel before Christ and say, make yourself alive to me. I have one more Bible story. Another prophet that God sent in Matthew 11. Now at this time, Israel had been without a prophet for maybe 400 years, or 300 to 400 years, since Malachi. The Lord did not leave them in those 400 years. God raised up men and delivered the people of Israel from time to time. But they were missing the day when God spoke through prophets. But time had gone so long, and still there was this promise of a Messiah. And if they had read the prophets, they also would know before the Messiah comes, there will be a voice crying in the wilderness, make a straight way for the Lord. Now, how many in Israel were waiting for that around this time? Not many. Matthew 11, verse 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? It was actually camel skin garments. He did not look his best. Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's house. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. Why was he more than a prophet? Wasn't he just a prophet? Jesus says he was more than a prophet. Well, what's different with this prophet is that other prophets prophesied about him. That he's the one that needs to come. He's a sign that when he comes, the Messiah will come soon. Now that to me is more than a prophet. But what did he do? Well, let's just read further. Verse
10.
For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is the Elijah who is to come. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, John, what was special about him? What did he do? Name one miracle in his ministry. Can anyone here tell me of a miracle that God did through John? No? No one? No. It's silent. The room is silent. Does that mean it's not recorded
And any
miracle in the Bible done by John the Baptist? To my knowledge, it is not. And what did he preach? How many words? I believe since he was preaching every day, and he led a whole multitudes of people to the river of Jordan and baptized them, he was not mute. He spoke. But you don't read many sermons of John in the New Testament, do you? But you read the prophecies about him. He made the way. He elevated the valleys, didn't he? He brought down the mountains. Didn't he? He straightened out the crooked. Didn't he? So that when Jesus came to the river of Jordan to be baptized by him, his job was done. And God revealed to him, this is the one. This is my son. This is the light of the world. This is my lamb. So he could point him out to everyone who had an ear to hear. Behold the Lamb of God. And you read, they asked, can we go follow him now? Maybe it hurt John a bit to lose his followers.
You know,
but he knew his calling. Go. This is the one. And I'm bringing this in because we don't find much about what John spoke, right? But the words he spoke, few or many, were enough. They prepared a people. Not the multitudes, but the ones that had an ear to hear. And the ones that would be important for God to use later. He needed them to be around John. He needed them to learn what John knew. So that when Jesus came, they knew, because they already knew the John's ministry. They were now ready to go. They were now ready to even go into death for him. But not until, of course, later.
There's
a phone there. So it's more about the effect of the ministry of John. It is more about the effect of your life and my life. Whatever much or little God invests in us, He wants an increase. It's no excuse that you may be the one person that God only invested £1 in or £1 talent in. And you say to God, oh, maybe I'm the one in the parable that buries my talent. There's no use for me. God expected that
talent
to be invested and to increase, like the one that had two and made four, like the one who had five and made ten. And the reward was great for all of them. But here, when we hear numbers,
1, 4, 10,
or 1, 2, 5, we automatically think, oh, the five person.
That's
the one. That's what we're aiming for. You know, we need to be our best. We need to strive. Remember, what does the parable say? God gave talents. God invested talents. We don't have anything unless it's given us from God. And God doesn't want us to invest things that is not from Him, does He? What's the reward in that? I got 10 million kwacha in the bank. I started with 5. Great is my reward in heaven. No. You earned that
kwacha.
But if God put 5 souls in your care,
and
they've increased to 10 souls, great is your reward in heaven. You tended to the little flock that you have, God has given you. It's not about being a mega church, is it? Who wants to be a mega church? You disappear and you drown in a mega church. No, as the song goes, little is much when God is in it. And there's this testimony I just want to share from my church. It goes along with the same thought. And it touches on our way of thinking. Maybe even what kind of attitude we have. And maybe we need correction. Or maybe we think other people need correction. Well, there was a Wednesday night service in our church. And here a sister came in the door when the preaching was almost over. Now, that's late. Would you agree with me on that? Sister, where's your priorities? We start 6. It's 8 o'clock. The preacher had 5 to 10 more minutes. Everybody in that church could sit and think that about the sister. And I'm not saying anybody did, but I'm saying anybody could. Because automatically we think thoughts. It's hard to stop our thoughts from coming into our heads, right? But I can tell you the good thing about this testimony. The sister didn't care. Not because she was, you know, I don't even know the reason for her being late.
It just
But she embraced the 5 to 10 minutes of the sermon. And as soon as the after service started, she broke out in praise. Now how can you praise the Lord? You just got here. She took the minutes she had and she made the best of those minutes. And words were spoken in tongues. And an interpretation came and spoke directly to the sister's heart. And blessed her even more. And giving her not glory, but giving her it's not a good word to use, credit, but when God gives you credit, it's a good thing. And he said,
Anat,
I see your hunger. I see that you take the little that you had and you embraced it. And for that I will bless you. That's, you know, that's against human reason. But I'm sitting in my heart seat the whole sermon. I came early. I even prayed before service. I was on my knees. I sang. I worshipped. I didn't get no prophecy. I didn't get no blessing. That's how a human mind can think sometimes, right? Because we measure differently than God measures. We measure with our eyes, what we hear, you know, what we can feel, you know, what we can sense. We use every natural sense for what it is worth. Now, I can share this testimony because I know everyone in my church lit up with joy when she came in late. Oh, you came too. And when she was blessed, the whole church was blessed. Everybody was on their feet rejoicing, praising the Lord for lifting up a sister that needed to be lifted up, that didn't care about what people think, but took her portion and saying, it is mine. It is mine. I'm here. And God is blessing me. Amen.
Amen.
And we've all experienced something. I tend to think, if you come to a church on a regular basis, you must have experienced something. Especially if you are, you know, in your late teenage years.
I can understand
a child. And if I point out a child now, my brother here with the lion, how old are you? You got a...
with the lion.
With the lion on your shirt. How old are you? You are? 13. Did you want to be here tonight? Yes, amen. Or did mom or papa have to drag you here tonight? You better come. You better come. It's church. No, I don't want to. Or, because some children are obedient. Yes, I'll go, mom. It's what we do. And some children have listening ears. And they like what they hear. Even though they don't understand everything, there's something catching them. Why? God is speaking. And any human being, will respond, or, will sense something when God is speaking. And then you will also get something. And then you come to ages, and later in the during the services, I have some more sharings, but that you will understand. That this message is a foundation for, you could say. And without thinking about it, it was not planned. But as we were sitting on Monday evening, in Brother Andrew Peary's living room, people came and went, in and out. One young brother sat and talked with us, and then left. Like Brother Alec, he came and sit down a little bit, and we talked a little bit, and then he had to go back and work some. And then Brother Teddy in the back there, he came in and he had some sharings. And it was a joy to listen to him. And then he had some more chores and he was out the door. And there Brother Joshua came in. And he sat with us. And then we had a little talk. And just out of nowhere, without planning it, I just asked him a question. And I wasn't thinking about it at all. So I'm trusting that it was something the Lord put on my heart to ask him. And I just asked him, "You remember it?" Now, why do you believe what you believe? That's a very sobering question to ask yourself. Any age, you can see that with people leaving churches. Have they really questioned themselves? Why do I believe what I believe? Now, Brother Joshua's answer, did he preach me a sermon? Do you think he preached me a sermon? Well, let me tell you now, Brother Ariel. It started like this, and then he kept me for 1 hour. No. But on the other side, he didn't say, I really have to, can I think about this one and get back to you? That would have been okay. Because I was not there to put him on the spot. But whenever I get to know a new brother, a new sister, no matter if you're 13 or if you're 80 or 90, I love everybody's story. Yeah. And just right off the bat, as they say in America, he shared two short testimonies. And I got so encouraged. And my heart went out for him. And I said, I didn't even expect this. But it was a perfect answer. Why? Was it because he told me multitudes of miracles? No, it was because it was something that spoke to a young boy's heart once. And never left. When I talked to him, 60 years from now, I will be very old then, of course. So maybe it will be up in glory. No, but if you, another young person, talk with him 60 years from now, he will give you the same answers. And I'm not going to share his testimony because that's his testimony. And you probably already know it. He can share it himself. But one person may say to you then, Michael, no, not Michael, sorry. Joshua, is that it? Was that all? And you're a Christian today because of that? But you know what I say? Praise the Lord. It was plenty. It was more than enough. It's what makes a young teenager take a stand for the Lord. And can have an adult conversation with a 50-year-old. And that thrills me. And you all have your story. That's my point in saying this. And I once thought my stories were not enough. And why? Because I'm not like him, I'm not like her. And we compare ourselves. Who's
going
to want to listen to this? Well, who was going to want to listen to Haggai and Zechariah? One sentence. And the temple was rebuilt. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm not going to keep you any longer. And I don't know if this is short or long for you. I'm normally not someone who preaches for hours and hours. So, but if you feel it was short, I believe it was enough. And
amen.
If you believe it was too long, I'm sorry. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, brother.